What if the shame of your past isn't meant to crush you, but to prove you've actually been changed and to turn your ordinary Sunday into a living taste of eternity? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington, fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. I hope you are enjoying your Sunday morning. I know that Sunday is my favorite day. I love going in and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I love hearing God's word being preached. Tomorrow I'll be up in Colville preaching on Ezekiel chapter 19. Wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. It's going to be a great service. And so I just want to encourage you that you have a great attitude as you walk into church today. Get everyone up, get them going, get them out the door, get into worship, and just begin to truly enjoy our Savior, Jesus Christ. Also, we are in our sin series. So if you're enjoying these series, talking about sin in our life, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this in your huddle. It really does help us get the word out, get the word of God out is what we're really trying to do, because our goal at FPIW is to change hearts so that we change the public square. And when we change the public square with a changed heart, we have good policy. You're not going to out-debate people. You're not going to out-maneuver people, out-power people, out-convince people to do the right thing. The Word of God through the Spirit of God resting in the people of God is what changes our lives and our communities around us. We want people to hear the gospel message. Finally, if you are a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, maybe you're giving $5, $10, $20, $30, whatever it is per month, we are so, so very thankful. Your financial support helps us to reach out and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. So, let's get into our series today. As always, we're going to read the scriptures ahead of time and go through what we're going to look at, and then I'll go word by word and break it down. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the first thing he says is, what's the benefit? What were you benefiting from the things that you were once ashamed? Now think about that for a moment. When you were living contrary to the very things of God, when you were living in your own flesh, in your own abilities, and all that you did that were in rebellion to Almighty God, what was your benefit? What did you benefit? Did you benefit shame? Did you benefit a hangover? Did you benefit? What did you benefit from that? So that's his thing. He says, hey, what were you benefiting of the things you are now ashamed of? Interesting question that Paul is asking us. You know, remember he started this chapter out, should we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And he's making this argument. No, not at all. What was the benefit of what you are now ashamed of? Like, and the second thing is, honestly, I think we need to feel and sense shame over our sin a little bit more. Now, that is just for a moment. And then when we turn to the cross and to Jesus Christ, then we begin to embrace God's grace and forgiveness. But there is nothing wrong with being disappointed with how you conducted yourself in your fallenness. There's nothing wrong with that. We should be ashamed. We should not be proud of our sin. So it says, for the outcome of those things is death. So the things that you used to do, and this is important. If Jesus has not changed your life, then you have not been changed by Jesus. If how you lived prior to knowing Jesus is exactly how you live today, then I'm not sure Jesus has stepped into your heart, because where the Spirit of the living God dwells, there is freedom from all that stuff that you were once in. You say, well, I wasn't that bad of a person. Oh, really? Really? Are you sure? Because those things, that level of pride, leads to death. That's what he says. What benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed of? For the outcome of those things is death. So the ways we used to live, the outcome of that is simply nothing good. Dead things, roadkill. But is that the final story? No. He says, but now having been freed from sin. So you are free from sin. I have been going over and over and over and over and over this again in this series on sin in my life. And I will say it one more time, once again, child of the living God, Christ follower, person who's been bought by the blood of Jesus, by faith through grace, you are freed from sin. So when sin knocks on that door, you say, I'm free from that. I'm not answering that. I only answer to the Holy Spirit, the King of Kings, the Word of God, the Lord Almighty. I'm not answering the door. I'm not going to open the door and let sin come in. I'm just not. I'm freed from that. It gives you authority over sin in your life when you understand that you are freed from sin, but you're not just freed from sin and now you're just some kind of wandering soul out there doing nothing. You are now enslaved to God. Look at that. But now having been freed from sin and you derive your benefit resulting sanctification. So we understand that we are enslaved to God, but now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, that is powerful. You are God's slave. You say, I don't want to be God's slave. Okay, so then you want to be God's master? That's dangerous. You want to tell God what to do, or you want God to tell you what to do? So you're enslaved to God. He tells you to jump, you jump. He tells you to give someone a hug, you give him a hug. He tells you to speak truth, you speak the truth. He tells you to, you know, the Word of God gives us a lot of direction so that we can walk daily in what he has for us. And look at this. You derive your benefit resulting in sanctification. Have you noticed that word sanctified, sanctification, keeps coming up over and over in this chapter? Why? Why does Paul so emphatic about you being sanctified? Set apart for the glory of God. Okay, that's the definition, that you are set apart to bring God Almighty glory. You are used by your master, God, for his glory. It results in your sanctification. So you are freed from sin, not just to live a nice life, you know, without a lot of headaches and kind of make it to heaven. You are freed from sin to turn to your commander in chief, God Almighty, who is your master, and walk out the very things that he has called you to walk out. I think Pastor Kent says, when a cup is cleansed, you know, it's justified, right? It's been cleaned up. When it is used for its original purpose, you drink out of it. You know, I drink out of this cup. It's sanctified. It's used for that purpose. Don't mind if I have a drink of my coffee. So it results in sanctification. And then the outcome of that, the resulting of sanctification is a life of shameless living. You're not ashamed anymore. A life of humility, a life of truthfulness, a life of peace, a life of joy, a life of being surrounded by the presence of God. That is the outcome, resulting in your sanctification. The result is you tell people about Jesus. The result is you pray for those elected officials. The result is that you honor your boss, your mother, your father. The result is you love your family, your children. The results are so powerful because sanctification brings the possibility of eternity down here to earth. Think about that. When we walk in how God has set us apart for his glory, we get a little taste of heaven. I mean, heaven's going to be so much better than that, but we get a taste of it today. Let me put it this way. when I'm being attentive, caring, compassionate, a good listener, and willing to serve my wife, she's getting a taste of what it will be like in heaven. When I'm rude, obnoxious, unpleasant, impatient, demanding, and she's experiencing my flesh, I'm not bringing glory to God for those things. I'm bringing glory to myself. You say, well, man, can we just all walk around in this kumbaya bubble and somehow, you know, all the time just give people a taste of heaven? Well, according to Paul, you're freed from sin. You're freed from your flesh. And yet we know that we are being sanctified, that our flesh still, the old man still rises up at times, and we've got to repent and ask for forgiveness, and that's why we need the gospel message. If it was a one-time work where we were set free, which we are, but then we're not continually being set free, which we are, then what we would find out is that, you know, we should just go right to heaven right when we get saved. But we're still in a process, yet we're completely free. The opportunity to do righteousness is there. We need to embrace it. And that opportunity, let me be clear, is not based upon works. It's based upon the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God dwelling inside of you. That's where that power rests. It's right inside of you. And when you get to tap into it by humility and surrendering to it, wow. The outcome, people taste a little bit of heaven. So what does it say? The outcome is eternal life. So our final destination as Christians is eternal life. We are the bride of Christ. And I want to say this to the culture right now, which is trying to say that Israel is not God's chosen nation and the Jews aren't God's chosen people. I want to say this very clearly. Israel is God's chosen nation. The Jews are God's chosen people. Abraham's covenant is an everlasting, eternal covenant. And you say, wait a minute. Then what is the church? We're the bride of Christ. And some Jews have called on the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to be their Messiah. They've recognized through repentance Jesus as Lord. And now they're both in the nation of Israel, the chosen people of Israel, and the bride of Christ. And the reason is, this is so important, is that eternal life is where we're all headed, right? And what I mean by that is the church is headed towards eternal life. You need to have faith in Jesus Christ, who, just so we're clear, was born in the lineage of David, King David, and he is a Jew. So there's no room for anti-Semitic behavior in our life, in our hearts, or those things around us. We need to know that we've been freed from that and we have eternal life. But eternal life is in us right now. It's Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, you might say. He's dwelling inside of you. How can you hate that which dwells inside of you? It doesn't make any sense. So what does verse 23 say? Or what does verse 23 say? For the wages of sin is death. If you want to get paid by sin, it's death. Think about that. Think of any time that you have exaggerated something that God has placed on your life as a blessing, and you've worshiped that instead of worshiping God. When did you ever wake up the next morning and feel like, wow, I just was blessed? I mean, that was so amazing. When you worshiped an idol, when you worshiped a behavior, when you worshiped an action, when you worshiped all these things besides worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord, it ends in death every time. You can never find life in death. They're in opposition to each other. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus the Lord. And I want to break this in half. The free gift of God. It's a free gift. Jesus says it's not by works. It's by faith. It's through grace. It is by us picking up our cross daily and following after Jesus Christ through humility. It's a free gift of God. You don't have to pay for it. He's paid it in full. You are justified by the blood of Jesus. You are bought by the blood of Jesus. You are new by the blood of Jesus. He paid for it on the cross. Can you say amen to that? I mean, that gets me excited. The free gift of God is eternal life. So you get either the wages of sin, you get death as one path, or you get the free gift of God, which is eternal life. Now, it says this very clearly. This eternal life is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Each of those words is incredibly important. Eternal life is not in the church, is not in works, it's not in anything that you do. It's in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, the Messiah Jesus, Yeshua, and he's our Lord. He's our boss. He's our king. He's the one in charge, not you, not me. So what's our application today? You're walking into church today, or you're walking into that workplace. Maybe you're a pastor. I'm going to ask you this. When you were a drunk, what was your benefit? When you were, I could put in there for all the pastors. When you were a Pharisee, you did your religious duty. What was your benefit? When you were a Sadducee, what was your benefit? When you were a prostitute, what was your benefit? It was death. By the works of the law, no man will be justified. Are you proud of your past or ashamed of it? There should be a level of shame of your past. And it's a healthy tension to have regret for the ways that you dishonored God. Now, to be stuck in that and to live only through that filter, remember, we talked about this before, that the gospel is both a death and burial. That's where we should have shame of the things that we've died to in Christ Jesus. But the other half of that is resurrection and newness of life. And so, you know, in a made up percentage, 10%, you focus on, man, I should not have done that, and feel that shame and that guilt and repent. 90%, thanks be to God who has made me brand new. Again, made up percentages, but you get what I'm saying. We need to feel a little bit more shame culturally about how we're dishonoring God. The outcome is death. Sin has an outcome. It's death. And so we have to ask ourselves, how will we walk today? Are we going to walk as we are freed from sin? I know at different times in my family, I've struggled with anger or frustration. A lot of times it's mostly impatience. I still struggle with that to this day. And how do I walk free, knowing that I'm freed from impatience? Wow, I need to learn that. Are you enslaved to God? That's probably how I need to do it. I need to be like, well, God's in control of this. But the difficulty I always have is, how do I say what I think is right without being impatient or annoyed or frustrated? I need that refined in my life. And do you have the gift of God, eternal life, in Christ Jesus, our Lord? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. And God, as we step into our churches today, as we go forward in what you have called us to do, God, we want to worship you today, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God Almighty, risen Savior, Holy One, Righteous One, Just One. God, you are our King, and we thank you for that. Jesus, we thank you that you are our Lord. We thank you that you go before us in all things. God, thank you for freeing us from sin, giving us eternal life. God, let us be a taste of eternity right now with how we glorify you with our mouth, how we glorify you with our attitudes, how we glorify you with our thoughts, our desires, our actions, our interactions, our personal relationships, our public relationships. God, we pray that you will be glorified. We give you the glory, the honor. We say, it's all about you, Lord. Convict us of our sin, God. Convict us of those areas that we fall short. Go before us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment. The Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach. But you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.